Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and today I had the opportunity to meet one of the candidates for Senate in North Carolina, and that is Ken Harper for U.S. Senate. And, you know, CCTA is a 501c3 nonpartisan nonprofit organization, so this is not to be taken as an endorsement for a candidate, only that we want you to have the opportunity to be able to hear from as many candidates as will participate. And this was a great opportunity to have Ken in. Ken, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's truly a pleasure and honor to be here this morning with you.
Well, let's start out with you giving us a little background on you.
Sure, absolutely. I grew up in High Point, North Carolina. My mother and father had me and a sister and a brother. And we were raised in a very conservative family. My dad is in the ministry. He's still in the ministry. Has a church called High Point Solid Rock Ministries. And went to high school, graduated high school. I didn't go into college. I actually started my own business when I was nearly 20 years old with the Kirby Company. I was with the Kirby Vacuum Company for over 10 years. Went over 30 trips with the Kirby Company. For the last 15 years, I've been working in the financial service industry.
You know, that's ironic because in my youth, when I first got married, I went with Kirby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for about 10 weeks. Okay. I found out real quickly, I'm not a salesman.
I heard that. But yes, sir. So for the last 15 years, I've been working in the financial service industry. My company is called HARPCO, stands for Helping Americans Resolve Problems and Creating Opportunities. And I've taken financial literacy into the prisons, the schools, and the churches, because truly it's so important that we as Americans understand how to engage in a capitalistic society. And those skills have to be taught, and they have not been provided at a great level in the school system.
All right. Well, free enterprise is one of the tenets of our Constitution in our country, and I'm glad to see you're supporting that.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Anything else?
I'm married. I have four beautiful daughters between the ages of 26 and 16. I have my first grandson. He's 1 year old. And I'm an avid reader. I'm a drummer. I love music. And I'm just truly honored to be serving in this position for North Carolina.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, we certainly appreciate your giving us an opportunity to get to meet you and to learn a little bit about you. So I'm going to start asking some questions.
Okay.
Some of these have been submitted by others, and some of them are mine. And when we get through those, we'll let the audience participate. Each state in the United States elects two senators.
Yes.
For those of our listeners that might not know how the process works. And it's regardless of the state's population, they each get two. And senators serve six-year terms with staggered elections. So Americans in the United States, six territories, do not have senators. So Richard Burr is currently a senator from North Carolina, and he is a Republican senator, and he has served since January 4th of 2005. Burr is next up for re-election in 2022. He serves until January 3rd of 2023. The other senator for North Carolina is Tom Tillis, and his term will be up in 2026. So, Ken, you're running naturally to fill Burr's vacated seat when it gets vacated.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what legislation would you sponsor or support to deal with the border crisis?
Well, first and foremost, there was already legislation in place that was truly effective under President Trump with the Remain in Mexico policies, not to mention the fact that we definitely have to have illegal aliens coming to our country legally. We have to secure our borders. I'm glad that the Supreme Court went ahead and implemented this policy back and put it back in force because we've seen that our borders have been run amok just needlessly with the policies that was reversed by Joe Biden on day one. And so truly, if it's not broke, I wouldn't try to fix it. President Trump's policies really protected us. We had our borders secure, and I truly would support the Remain in Mexico policies that were already instated from the previous administration.
Oh, very well. So would you support a massive effort to return all illegal aliens currently in the United States back to their country of origin?
I would support that because first and foremost, we as Americans, we're in the midst of a crisis and a pandemic. We have an uncontrolled budget situation where our government is spending massive amount of money. Many of these individuals, we don't know who they are. They haven't been vetted. There may even be terrorists among some of these individuals. And that's a strong burden also being implemented upon our economic system with individuals who have came into our country. Many of, we don't know if they are seeking asylum. We don't know if they would be able to assimilate in America. And so therefore, they need to come in the correct way. My wife is from Canada. Her grandmother just passed away about 30 days ago. And it was very hard to get into Canada. That we just couldn't walk into Canada. We had to meet all the criteria and the protocols to get into the country. And the United States should take those same measures to make sure that no one can just waltz into our country because we are the United States of America. All our citizens need to be protected, and our security should be top priority for this country.
Very well. What actions or legislation would you support to reduce our dependence on communist China?
Well, first and foremost, again, you know, when I look back at the last 4 years for me being an entrepreneur and a business owner, President Trump policies as it relates to trade and truly strengthening our economy here by putting America first really was a great opportunity for Americans to grow and expand our businesses. You know, we cannot depend on China, especially a communist regime that we know is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands, millions of people now, even if you look at COVID. So I would fight for policies that make America strong. As it relates to our trade, even in high schools, teaching our children the importance of, you know, construction, welding and plumbing, giving community colleges incentives for individuals who may not want to go to a four-year university. Also teaching entrepreneurship here in the United States is this is the greatest country in the world where you can start in from nothing, a little or nothing, and build something major. So I would support policies that reduce taxes, give entrepreneurs opportunities to grow their business, and also require these Americans who are sitting down and collecting unemployment checks because they feel like they've been incentivized by the Biden administration. I will put these people back to work here in the United States and support our entrepreneurs and support our small businesses, because the small business is the engine that actually drives the United States of America. So I would definitely, and also we need to pay this debt off that we owe to China, because you know it really puts us in a precarious situation that also can make our currency insolvent as we continue to spend and spend. I think they just passed a $1 trillion bipartisan bill. So I really don't understand the logic of where our GOP is complicit in with this massive amount of spending when we have businesses who now have reduced hours. It's like they want to slow our economy down. You know, it's hard even after 9 o'clock. I'm traveling around North Carolina trying to get something to eat. It's hard to find a place to get something to eat. So I would support free enterprise, lower taxes, and putting Americans back to work. And that should give us the opportunity to be less dependent upon China by putting Americans first.
Okay. All right. Could you explain to us your view of critical race theory?
Well, First and foremost, the whole name of it, it's a theory. It's not even a fact. I'm 45 years old. I grew up in High Point, North Carolina. We had a very diverse mixed class. Our class was 50% probably black, 50% white. We played together. We worked together. We lived in the same communities, and we respected each other. Critical race theory, in essence, is an oppressive ideology that really wants to associate itself with the civil rights movement, but it's tyrannical in its ideology to pit whites and blacks against each other. One that makes African Americans feel as you're being oppressed by white Americans, and white Americans as you're supposed to carry the debt from your previous ancestors who ushered in and brought slavery into this country. And that is clearly wrong. It's teaching divisiveness in our country. We are the United States of America, and if we are continuing to preach ideology that divides us, that is going to really create a problem in the future that is drastically that we could have a repeat of history of the Civil War. So I push back against this ideology because African American ancestors were not any victims. And when we and if you look at the historical records here in North Carolina, during the Reconstruction period, African Americans, matter of fact, in Durham, North Carolina, if you go downtown Durham, one of the tallest skyscrapers that you'll see is the North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company. And that company was started by 7 former slaves who were entrepreneurs. They owned their own barbershops and their own businesses, and they actually created mutual aid societies, in essence, that gave the African American community an opportunity to take care of the community, those who passed away, those who became sick, because many of the women took care of the homes. And so when the men got sick, it was really devastating to those families. And those African Americans, those former slaves, actually worked with the Duke family to help create a bank and an insurance company that's still in existence today. And I don't even understand why they're trying to bring in reparations. You know what? The only type of reparation I would support is for some of these people to actually go to a third world country and actually really see what it's like to live in a third world country where you don't have running water, where you don't have plumbing, where you have to go out into the woods and actually catch your food, where your currency it's worthless. People don't understand how great our country is. They're unappreciative of the country that we have here. And what I found is when I went over to Africa in 2019 is that, you know what, we don't have really poverty here in the United States. We have some poor people. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when if you really look at poverty, we have people that live in low income houses that they've got 1 and 2 cars. They've got a laptop. They've got air conditioning. They've got every amenity that one needs to basically have a quality of life, but they want to be deemed as stuck in a poverty. I think it's more so of a poverty mindset, more so than anything. So it's just something that really I'm really upset about, because a lot of African Americans, educated African Americans, are leading that mantra of critical race theory, and in essence, it's really destroying the African American community. And I'm not going to stand for it, and I'm not going to compromise. And that's one of the things why it's important that you have the right type of Senate candidate that can face off the Democrats. See, and I say it very humbly, no disrespect to my opponents, but I don't think they can actually handle the Democrats the way that I can. I have some experience, I'm willing to take it head on, and I'm not going to compromise.
Goodness. Well, the reason we're in the situation we are in today is because that history that you just spoke of is not being taught.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And there's some rich history here, even in Craven County.
Yes.
If you look at
Newbern.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. In Newbern, Fern Ford Simmons. A lot of people don't even understand what that gentleman did. I believe he was one of the ones who helped dredge the swamp. Because if you look at what he did during 1896, the Democrats, when they lost, I think it was the 1894 election, 1892 election, they brought Fern Ford Simmons in, and his one mantra was African slaves' dominance into being elected into office was a major problem for white. And so for white Americans. And he basically played on their fears and created a Democratic propaganda machine that really spread it all across North Carolina. He used very powerful men such as business owners. He even actually got the media associated. And guess what? The Republican Party was still splintered at that time. You had the populist Republicans who basically, if you look at the Republican Party right now, as me and Simon have been traveling all over North Carolina, one of the things that I think I've noticed is the Republican Party is not operating on the same sheet of music. You have one group that wants to continue to do the things the same old way, not changing. The second group is fighting the first group, and the third group wants nothing to do with the GOP. And that is how in 1896 the Democrats defeated the Republicans, and here it is, we're at that same crossroads. And so that's why we created the Republican Difference, for resolution, restoration, and revitalization. We cannot continue to go down that same trajectory. We cannot continue to operate as in some country as just white and black. We have got to come together and hold arms and fight for our Constitution, fight for the red, the blue, and the white, because that's what's important.
As Americans, absolutely. Okay, well, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we're going to come back and hear some more from Ken Harper.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Today's guest is Ken Harper, candidate for U.S. Senate in North Carolina. And Ken, we're going to move right on with some more questions here, since you're doing so well with the other ones there. Do you support the elimination of the Federal Department of Education? And if so, why?
Actually, this week, on Tuesday, had the great distinct honor to meet with the Lieutenant Governor in his office to discuss with him the task force as relates to teacher accountability and also a lot of the indoctrination that's taking place in the school system. I definitely would support the abolition of the Department of Education, because it should be in the hands of the states. It should be in the hands also of the parents. The parents, at the end of the day, also play a very significant role in those sort of lives of the children. I've even had some discussions about this with other conservatives who think that the public schools should be abolished. Well, I say that I'm a product of the public school and a Christian conservative home, and I turned out all right. So I think what it is that we need to get back to a position where our school systems are held accountable for, number one, teaching empirical data and evidence and historical history, and not creating some ideology or pushing a Marxist communist ideology that really taints the hearts and minds of our children. I'm totally against the agenda that's taking place in the schools for the LGBTQ, transgender, sexual orientation, gender identity, inequality, all these words that they want to use that don't mean anything, that in essence want to confuse our children, rob them of their innocence. And I also believe that parents should be a part of the school board before any votes that take place. Parents actually have a say and a vote on the board. And I also would stand for if there's any type of federal legislation that we work with governors and the states, they can implement a structure that can hold our superintendents, our school boards, and our teachers accountable for what's being taught. Another thing that in the legislation, you can read this on my page called NC Vote Harper, what I would stand for. Our schools are soft targets. I think we need security on the perimeters, exterior and interior of schools. And I think that teachers also should have the right to carry and conceal. Because I have a 16-year-old in high school, and if somebody came into the school, I would want my child protected.
Absolutely. All right. So tell us, what are some of the policies, regulations implemented by the Biden administration that you're in favor of reversing?
All of them.
All of them.
That was an easy one.
Okay.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, first and foremost, Joe Biden does not have the competence to go in on day one and put 40 executive orders that he would like to remove from the Trump's administration. These policies have put our economy, put our country in a spiral. Even if you look at the first thing that he did with the Keystone Pipeline, and that was over 11,000 jobs. That was about making us energy dependent, not having to depend on outside nations for our energy. That within itself, I mean, coming up here, I paid $4.08 for premium gasoline. I don't know of any policy that I would support under Joe Biden right now. They have this Build Back Better mantra. And again, I told you, going back to Canada, we just came back from Canada, and Trudeau, the reincarnated Joe Biden, was preaching that same thing, the vax and the anti-vax, the Build Back Better. So this is a global elitist agenda, and we have to wake up and begin to understand what is taking place and really speak the truth and address the evil forces that at hand that we're facing.
Absolutely. In order to build back better, they have to tear it down first.
Yes, I guess so.
Okay.
Wow, doesn't make sense to me.
What steps would you take to rein in the out-of-control federal spending that threatens to bankrupt this country?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, all of us in this room, generally speaking, have to live on some type of budget. If we don't live on a budget, then there's obviously, you know, we default on our obligations. And so the federal government really truly has been out of control on a tyrannical spin for quite some time. I do believe that we need a balanced budget amendment to be added to our Constitution, and requires that our budgets be balanced. Because without that, then what happens is future generations are saddled with debt that they cannot pay in the future. On average right now, the average American, if you look at the federal deficit, the average American owes about $69,000 each. with the massive amount of debt. I would support a balanced budget amendment through the Convention of States. I believe that this is a way to also implement term limits. I don't think that you should make a career out of being a politician. I think that it's imperative that we go back to, number one, putting a balanced budget in place and putting term limits in place so we can get some of these tyrannical individuals out of office.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you agree with amnesty or paying $450,000 to illegal aliens that were separated under the Trump administration?
No, I do not, because the previous administration was also the biggest part. They're the ones who built the cages. And also, they're the ones who really opened up this can of worms as it related to all these immigrants coming into our country. So, no, we should not put further debt on our, on our deficit as relates to illegal immigrants coming into the United States of America. And I think that's just a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
All right. Would you sign a bill without it being in written form in front of you?
I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. So, no, sir, I would not. That doesn't make any sense. And one of the things I would do to be held accountable to North Carolinians is something that I have created that's called the Carolina Consensus. In essence, the Carolina Consensus allows me to work with commissioners, sheriffs, mayors, because there's 9 million people here. There's no way that two individuals who sit in Washington, D.C. can truly implement the most effective strategies for the close to 10 million residents that we have here. So I would create the Carolina Consensus that allows me, before I take a vote, to communicate with North Carolina and get a pulse in real time of what the state feels that we need to do in that direction. That allows me to be held accountable. So for one, you know, I don't have to duck you in the grocery store. I can feel proud about the way that I'm voting because I'm listening to you as a constituent.
All right. Would you sign a bill just to keep the government open, or would you be willing to allow the government to close to force agreement on an issue?
I would allow the government to close to force on the issue because I'm tired of this treadmill, this same trajectory that we're continuing on without getting any resolution because that's all they continue to do is to continue to raise the debt ceiling. We've been having these conversations now. I remember these conversations going all the way back to 2008. We're in 20, getting ready to be in 2022. So we can't continue to do the same thing expecting a different result. That's called insanity. So at some point we do have to get to a point of fixing the issues and resolving the issues. It's no different than if we had an issue in the motor in our car. We would have to get it repaired in order to get down the road. So the engine in America, needs to be fixed and so we can actually move forward.
All right. Do you believe in compromise in order to get something you want, or do you think each issue should stand on its own and should be considered separate from other unrelated issues?
Well, at the end of the day, every husband and wife, there has to be some compromises. I mean, from the perspective of one, you may see something from a different perspective. I may see something from a different perspective. But how do we both listen to each other and use empathy to come with a revolution that everybody feels like they're being respected? And now I'm not willing to compromise my morality. For a policy so if you're talking about an abortion bill or something
right.
like that,
yeah.
no,
Won't
no,
you
sir,
be willing
no,
to
absolutely not.
Something?
I do not stand for abortion. My daughter was born 2 weeks after I graduated high school. She's 26 years old today. So things of that nature. When you're talking about infanticide and murdering of children, no, sir, I'm not willing to compromise my morality as a Christian. And for me, that's the measuring stick. It's one thing to, compromise on a bill.
On a dollar amount.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's different. But when you're talking about issues such as taking the life of innocent children, there is no compromise. I'm waiting for Roe versus Wade to be overturned. And so that's where I stand as it relates to any type of compromise. It has to be measured by morality.
Okay, very well. All right, we need to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we have Ken Harper, candidate for U.S. Senate, running for Richard Burr's seat that will be vacated in 2022. And there's 18 candidates running for Senate. So if you're one of those other 17 and you'd like to come on the show, you'll be asked the same questions, and we'll give you that opportunity. It doesn't matter what party you are, as long as you are a candidate for that position. So, Ken.
Yes.
Let's get back and see where I left off at here. Would you give us your view of January 6th and it being labeled an insurrection?
Yes. First and foremost, I believe that the January 6th event was a peaceful riot initially. And we also know that people were put there to agitate many of the individuals there. We know that individuals that some that were arrested were a part of Black Lives Matter. We know that we had some Antifa individuals also a part of that. However, they also do not promote the peaceful individuals that were there simply out of, they were there to address their grievances of the election, and they were there meeting peacefully. Not only that, But an insurrection actually took place in 1898, the Day of Blood in Wilmington, when the Ku Klux Klan actually went in and murdered over 300 black Americans because they didn't want them to be in power, and actually held that power to almost the civil rights movement took place in the beginning of the 20th century or the mid 20th century. So January 6th wasn't an insurrection. It was a riot gone bad. I believe also that many of those individuals that have been arrested are now being held as political prisoners. In our country, our Constitution gives us the right to a speedy trial. So I think this is a travesty what is taking place in the United States, and we need to wake up and pay attention. And I also believe that the Democrats were complicit in January 6th. You had officers there waving people in. Not only that, but we know that also there were many officers that had been sent home prior. So many of the things don't add up on January the 6th. I see that as not a real insurrection. That history shows us what real insurrections and coup d'etats really are. That wasn't one.
Okay. So do you believe election fraud is a real thing?
And you better know it.
What would you make to the current system?
Yes, it's real. It's very real. I mean, really, at the end of the day, even running for office, you know, we don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. We had too many irregularities as it relates to the election from, you know, things that took place in Georgia, whether you look at what happened out in Arizona. And I believe that our system is very antiquated. I don't believe that voting machines should be connected to the internet. You know, I almost believe we need to go back to just old-fashioned paper ballots. And it's so interesting how people can drive an automobile to the polls to vote, but they don't have an ID when they get there to show who they are. We need voter ID. I'm tired of this mantra of voter suppression. It is really an insult. I think I've had an ID since I was 14 years old because I was working and I needed to cash a check. So it is really a preposterous where we are when in our election system. We need to also get control of mail-in ballots. And also we need to not allow mail-in ballots to be counted days after they have, if they're not received on the day of the election, they should not count. We need a complete overhaul in our election system, because if Americans can't trust their election system, then what are we actually doing? And I think that really within itself, we don't know who is a legitimate candidate, and we don't have enough Democrats and Republicans working together to really truly make elections fair and truly put forth the issues that are the problems in our system. I think it's broken, it's antiquated, and it needs to be changed to bring true, fair elections back to the forefront.
Okay, I have one final question for you, and then we'll take questions from the audience.
Man, you worse than my wife. You got all these questions.
Yeah. Well, this one is simple, I think. Describe the current state of our judicial system.
Well, that's a very open ended question from the perspective of, I think the judicial system only works as well as we have laws on the books, meaning that we have a lot of great judges and great attorneys who truly love what they do and truly want to implement a system based on justice. However, the justice system has become a commodity in America. You get just as much as justice as you can afford. In many cases, the system is overran with judges with heavy caseloads who don't have adequate time that they need to make great decisions on the behalf of individuals. This is a thorn in my side as a divorcee. Went through the judicial system, being a part of my children's lives for all their life, literally literally bankrupt me to try to get custody of my children, I think that is a travesty within itself. So we have a lot of changes that we need to make in our judicial system. And I'm willing to work with judges. I'm willing to work with the bar to put forth. There's a lot of antiquated laws on the books that go back to the Great Society under LBJ, that many of these policies are creating recidivism. They're destroying the nuclear family. As a matter of fact, that's what I was doing prior to. I wasn't even thinking about becoming a United States Senator. This was a call. I was working on a program that I created called Parent Support that helped non-custodial parents in child support court, who many of them don't have access to an attorney, a system that basically has had over 50 legislative laws changed to it. And there's no accountability in the system. Not only that, but it's a system that sends billions of dollars back to the federal government from these non-custodial parents who pay over $30 billion a year in child support. So much of that money doesn't even go into the hands of the children. So you asked me a loaded question there. And that's something that I am very concerned about is our judicial system, because it needs a lot of change and because equal justice under the law should really be true.
Absolutely. Well, my opinion on that, not that it matters, but I think God, with his 10 commandments, covered pretty much everything.
Yes.
We don't need more laws. We need law enforcement. We need judicial representatives up there that are going to enforce the laws that have been on the books that cover pretty much everything.
Absolutely.
And they need to hold criminals accountable. Well, with that being said.
Yes, they definitely do. I agree with that.
All right, we need to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we have Ken Harper, candidate for U.S. Senate. We're going to go ahead and turn the questions over to our audience.
You're on the
and
hot seat.
If you will, you're going to have to turn that on.
I'm Holly Amato.
Hi, Holly.
Hi. Okay, so we attended the Crime of the Century last Saturday night at the Civic Center in Moorhead City. It was very telling. Basically, your vote counts for only 70% in North Carolina. So I would like to know, would you support a full forensic audit here in North Carolina?
Yes, I would support a full forensic audit here in North Carolina. I think that is, all our constituents need to know exactly what is happening in our elections, and they should be completely transparent. So yes, ma'am, I definitely would support that. It's just imperative to know that our electoral system is working effectively and that individuals are receiving legal votes and that our system is not complicit in fraud.
What committees would you like to be assigned to?
Well, I definitely would love to have an opportunity to be a part of the Financial Service Committee, because I would like to implement legislation for financial literacy for 12 through K. I think, you know, we live in an amazing country in a capitalistic system, but so many Americans, when they graduate high school, they don't have an opportunity. Not that they don't have opportunity. They really don't understand how to implement a free enterprise system and how to utilize it to their advantages. So financial services is definitely something that I would want to be a part of. I think also strengthening our military, because really we have wokeism that has entered into our military, and we need strong soldiers. We also need to reform many of our soldiers who are still suffering with post-traumatic syndrome. Many of our soldiers are young men that have long-term care. They need long-term care because of the illnesses and some of the things that they're dealing with. My father served in the United States Army, so I think that's something that I definitely would like to see support for our veterans. And so those are the top two that come top of mind for me.
Yes, I have one question. You spoke about supportive term limits and balanced budget amendments. Are you in favor of the Convention of States?
Yes, I am in favor of the Convention of States, because the Convention of States in itself really was designed to hold our government in check from tyrannical power. It just appears to me that the checks and balances really aren't working as relates to the legislative, executive, and judicial branches, especially if you look in what happened with the election. Even though we had a dissent from Clarence Thomas as it relates to the, I believe it was the Pennsylvania case that the Supreme Court wouldn't review. Again, the lack of transparency for our elections. So again, the checks and balances are kind of out of whack right now. And so we have to have some type of solution, you know, and I know many people are on the fence there, but again, Convention of States isn't just something that can happen haphazardly. It requires the cooperation of over 39 states.
So if Congress is not following the rules
as they are now, what makes you think passing other rules are going to make them follow it?
Well, it's not that Congress... And let me say this, as a United States Senate candidate, the first thing I would do in office is pray. I think too many people try to pretend like they know all the answers to all these questions. Some of these questions I don't know the answer to. That's why I would work with North Carolina to bring forth solutions and put forth resolutions that actually work. Rules, it's really what has happened is we, the people, don't have the power anymore. So until we actually take a stand and get back to the checks and balances that George Washington and James Madison, our founders, actually talked about, because that's why they actually put the checks and balances in place, because of runaway power. And so, again, I just believe that it's important to listen to the people. It's important to pray and get wisdom, and seek forth the right types of resolutions with other people that can help lead you and guide you. I think as a United States Senate senator, I would really depend on the constituents here in this state to get wisdom. And to get forth ideals and policies and seek consensus. I'm not going to try to act like I know every single thing about government because I don't. So I think that's what we got to get back to, listening to the people and working together and following our Constitution. And that's really where I stand.
One big one that really bothers me is the fact that we listen so much as a nation to the CDC, the DHHS, the WHO, and it has come to my attention that these organizations are funded by vaccination companies and pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies. That is very concerning to me, because they are pushing out information that is not good information to the American public.
Absolutely.
And so I would like to know, what do you support, reform or abolishment of some of these organizations, or at least word I'm looking for, at least where they cannot be supported by large corporate donors?
Yes, very important question. You know, the CDC, I think, stands for creating daily chaos, because that's what they do. And so I completely agree with you. I've done some research myself as to understanding that really, sadly, the GOP has been complicit in much of this process and not standing against gain of function, not addressing Dr. Fauci. I call him the mad scientist. Okay, there's nothing that comes out of that man's mouth that has anything to do with ethics. I think it's a tragedy that we are pushing. Many doctors don't even call them vaccines. Okay, and these vaccines have created permanent heart damage in some of our children with myocarditis. We know many people are suffering from blood clots. We know that a lot of the research that came through the NIH and under Dr. Fauci took place under gain of function, which Barack Obama had it illegal in his administration, but then he changed at the end of the administration. And then obviously there was some announcement that there was going to get ready to be some type of catastrophe pandemic that took place. We have to pay attention. Globalism is real. Okay, they want us to ignore our Constitution. America is the last domino standing, okay, for freedom. And so, yes, I would completely push back against many of the individuals in NIH and a lot of the billions of dollars that's being spent on research that has nothing to do with truly protecting the public. I think many of these individuals need to be prosecuted. I think Fauci need to be fired immediately. And I think the NIH needs to be gutted. I think that there needs to be stronger oversight as relates to the funding to the different organizations that receive funding, whether that's from the military, whether that's from pharmaceutical companies. And there should not be an incentive for creating a vaccine for individuals to profit off of. That to me is a conflict of interest. So, yes, I am just sick and tired of people not doing the right things in our country. So yes, ma'am, I'm completely with you. I'm concerned about these issues, and I'll do my best to stink up the room if I get up there. Sure.
Thank you for coming. You mentioned globalism.
Yes.
Where do you stand on having the UN strike to enact some of their policies into our rules and laws here? How do you feel about the UN?
I am anti-UN on many of their policies. Really, where we're headed toward is a one world government, one currency, a global reset. I don't support these movements. As a born again believer, I believe it's antichrist. And so, just being clear and transparent, I don't support globalism. I don't support a one world government and a reset on the world.
I just want the radio audience to know what your stance is on defunding the police.
We know that defunding the police doesn't work. You know, at the end of the day, if I call the police, I want them to come as fast as possible. We've also seen massive increases of murders all across the country. Interestingly enough, with the defund the police, especially there in Chicago, in July, there was over 500 young black youth that were shot on July the 4th weekend. Defunding the police makes our communities we don't have stability. We don't have security. It makes people vulnerable. We're more susceptible to crime. So I do not support defund the police any way, shape, form, or fashion. I support our police and our law enforcement.
All right. Last question.
Hey, so you mentioned that you're not a career politician, and we know that campaigns are definitely a lot of work and a lot of time. And so I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that you're dealing with going through the campaign process? And what are some things, practical advice to those who want to help and want to support your campaign? What can they do to get involved and where can they follow you at?
Well, they can follow us at ncvoteharper.com. Our email is contact@ncvoteharper.com. We are truly running in one of the most expensive races in the state. So we need grassroots volunteers. We also want to keep our race clean. Therefore, we're not taking money from super PACs. And so we need money for advertising, social media, radio. We need money to get, as a matter of fact, traveling. This last 4 months in the primary, I want to travel around North Carolina. So I'm looking for an RV. So there's so many different things that we need funding to. So any contribution is not too small. Your votes count, volunteering count. And so we're very grateful for any way you can help us.
All right. Well, again, Ken, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Again, we are a nonpartisan nonprofit, and that we are not endorsing Ken as a candidate, but we are bringing you his own words so you can make your own decision. Again, if you're one of the other 17 candidates and would like to come on the show, please contact us. You can find a contact button at cctaxpayers.com, cctaxpayers.com, and you can find out all about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association there. Thank you for joining us again, and we'll be with you again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, The North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.